It's finally here, the Barbie isekai movie that we've all been waiting for, apparently. And here we are, and here you are, and we're all just living in this world that is hers. Join us in a discussion about existential dread, and the corporate world, and Barbie, and Alan. Well, maybe not Alan.
Welcome to In Media Les, a podcast about all the pop trivia that Val doesn't know, apparently, that our friend Thomas texts us about constantly. I'm Chloe.
And I'm Val,
the mystery. Really didn't know who Melissa Etheridge is.
Not by name. And then, like, the song started playing. I'm like, oh, it sounds familiar.
Okay, who was the other one he texted me about last? Oh, Sinead O'Connor.
I don't know. There were so many.
Sinead? You don't know who Sinead O'Connor is?
I'm sorry, okay?
We really didn't know everyone. He suggested that we do a podcast where we, like, force you to, like, experience pre, like, 2005 American pop culture. And I think this is a good idea for a show.
It's gonna be, like, 8 million episodes.
It's gonna take a while. Like, I don't even know where we'll get started. I guess you start with... I don't even know. Where would you start? I don't know.
Early?
But I'm just trying to think, like, how early? Do we just start with, like...
There were, like, a lot of songs yesterday. Okay. And I didn't know only about 7 of them.
Okay. So today, though, we are discussing, speaking of American pop culture, the 2023 comedy film Barbie, directed by Greta Gerwig, starring... Margot Robbie, Ryan Gosling, American Ferrera, Kate McKinnon, Issa Rae, Rhea Perlman, Will Ferrell, and a bunch of other people, I think.
Did you forget Michael Cera?
Oh, Michael Cera's in the... He's not one of the people who has top billing on the Wikipedia page, in fairness. Michael Cera's in there. Dua Lipa's in there. John Cena's in there.
He is. He was the mermaid.
Yeah, the merman. The Ethel Merman. Anyway, so Val and I saw this movie, was it a week ago?
I believe so.
When did we see that? My life is just this big blur of travel lately, so
I think time has lost meaning. On the 29th or something? Was that a Saturday?
That would be we saw it last Saturday. And I think we both came out of it and just knew we had to do an episode about it, although it is not... I mean, there is some queerness to it. It's not like...
It's not gay, but it is.
Yeah.
I do think spiritually.
Barbie is, like, implied to be, like, kind of asexual.
Yeah. That's a good way to look at it.
Yeah. Like, she wants nothing to do with Ken's advances. So, you know,
Or anyone else. Well, I guess any can.
There's a transgender actress in it. So...
Yeah.
You know, it works.
We can put other things into it to make it a little queer.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Anyway, I don't know. Do we want to summarize the story? It's like a lot. Basically, toys are real, but like they live in their own toy world and then they pierce the veil.
Exactly. I feel like the people who've seen it know it and the people who don't.
Just need to go see it.
Yeah.
Okay. So I came up with a list of questions, as I am wont to do. And I'm going to start with this one. What did you think of the opening?
It was silly. It was cool. I liked it.
Okay. Do you want to tell people what the opening was?
Like the big musical number? Is that what we're talking about?
No. We're talking about the 2001 Space Odyssey opening.
The what?
Oh my god, Val, how did you forget the whole first part of the movie?
You were sitting next to me, and yeah. I was struggling to pay attention the whole time.
Yeah, why was that?
I don't know. I was just like, I wanted to fidget and move around and whatever, but I was like, I'm here with 8 other people.
At a certain point, I had to grab Val's shoulder because she was squirming so much.
I was like trying not to like shake my knee, and instead my whole body started just like to tense up and like vibrate.
Anyway, so the opening is directly from 2001, A Space Odyssey. It's got a bunch of girls playing with like baby dolls. And then they the big Barbie, which is the 1950s original Barbie, which is a stand-in for the monolith from 2001, A Space Odyssey. And they all start breaking their baby toys in the presence of the Barbie. And I don't know, like, part of me was like, that's the scene that like has stuck with me the most, just because it is so, it's like a non sequitur. It has nothing to do with like the rest of the movie.
I've never seen Space Odyssey, so I think maybe that's why it didn't stick out to me.
But
another episode for you.
Adding this to the list of things we need for you to experience, apparently. Because once you see that movie, I think you will understand a lot more of pop culture. Because holy heck, do people like to reference it a lot. So as someone who has not seen Space Odyssey, what did that scene mean to you? Why do you think it was there?
I don't know, it was just silly. Everything goes back to the Bible. I don't know.
Spoken like someone who truly has an MFA.
Or maybe I don't. Have you ever considered that? I do.
Okay, I was going to be like, I was like trying to think, like, is it an MA in creative writing? I
thought it was an MFA. No, MFA.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so clearly that scene did not leave quite the impression on you that it did on me.
It didn't. Also, just as a heads up, I am a little hungover right now. I think that's also contributing to this atmosphere.
Okay, so I have to be the high energy one here today.
And yeah.
I will take charge on it. So after the 2001 Space Odyssey opening, we then have like the introduction to Barbie Land.
That's the one I was thinking of.
Which is a matriarchy. And I do find it interesting. I don't know. Like, part of me was thinking about this. And like, they do comment on the fact that Margot Robbie is like the stereotypical Barbie.
Mm-hmm.
But it is an interesting, I don't know, I was just thinking about like how interesting the story might have been if they had chosen a non-stereotypical Barbie. But I see why they did. I don't know, like I've been going back and forth on it today about like, as I think about it.
I mean, we've seen the reaction to The Little Mermaid, right?
Yeah.
Like any deviation from that, I think, would have just shifted the focus of the movie, unfortunately.
Oh man, can you imagine how upset certain people would be if it had been a black Barbie is the main character.
Yeah, and they have a lot of black Barbies in the movie.
Yes,
and they're not
including the president Barbie.
I guess they're more secondary, but
they're not the protagonists.
They're not the protagonists, but I wouldn't even call them secondary. They have an important role to play.
Yeah,
but I understand why the choices were made, and I guess in a sense it does go into the history of Barbie.
Yeah.
And starting with the first kind of original Barbie makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to spin it, really, but
yeah, that's fair. This movie, much like Ogres, has a lot of layers to it.
Oh.
And
how long have you been thinking of that sentence?
Like 5 seconds.
Okay, you weren't waiting to jump in with it? Okay.
No, but I do think it is interesting to me that there is this, like, yeah, you're right. It kind of traces a path of history in some ways, the main story of, like, at first, Barbie is just this toy for girls. And then we go to the Barbie Society, where it's just kind of like the Barbies are having fun. And then as the movie progresses, just like as Barbie culturally progressed in the United States, people started to think more and more about the problems of Barbie. And that's, the movie echoes that. So while we are journeying in this movie through the plot, we are also in some ways journeying through the historical arc of Barbie as a cultural phenomenon. Mm-hmm. So there's like two rising and falling actions happening on top of each other, if that makes sense. Because I feel like, at least when I was younger, Barbie was a bit more controversial, especially in the 80s and 90s, as like this very, not necessarily problematic, but like kind of like a toy for girls that was a little like demeaning in some way. And I think they've done their best to change that because they introduced all the Barbies that are like the president and computer scientists and sound engineers and everything else you can imagine. And I think that arc is also followed in this movie in the background, type, 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 Val is typing. And one thing that can, okay, I'm going to start because I was going to start with like our criticisms because I feel like I have a few, but overall I have a very positive idea, but I just came up with some lists. I don't really understand Will Ferrell's character.
Yeah, I wasn't sure why he was in there or at first, what they were doing.
At first, he seems like he's supposed to be the villain because he's trying to stop Barbie and get her to go into the box. Into the box,
yeah.
But then it seems like halfway through, he kind of decides he's on Barbie's side, I guess.
Yeah, I wasn't sure.
Because, like, at the end, he and his, like, team of executives are just like, yeah, we're glad everything's back to normal in Barbie land. We're going to go now and sell more toys. And I don't really understand, like, why it started with him. If all he wanted was her to just go back to Barbie land, why? I just don't get it. I just didn't understand, like, what his character... I thought, like, maybe, because he's supposed to be the CEO of Mattel, and my theory was that, like, Mattel kind of stepped in and said, like, you cannot make our CEO the villain in our first toy movie.
Yeah, I also like that guy that told them about it.
Yeah, the, like, little office guy,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, now that you point it out, I have no idea why they're there.
I know why they were there, because they were there to provide some kind of, like, impetus to keep the second act moving. But it just, they become completely directionless by the third act, and it's almost like, I don't know, did they even have, I just don't really know what they were doing there in the third act. Like, second act kind of made sense, like, get Barbie back where she belongs, in the box. We're here to be the evil men. And it was really weird. It was very self-deprecating for Mattel to allow their, you know, like, corporate team to be depicted as a bunch of men who don't listen to women, which is really interesting. There's so much to be that I can just think about that. It's fascinating. But I guess I just... Yeah. I feel like I'm struggling to say, like, a thousand things at once because it's so bewildering. But, like, it was interesting. And it doesn't, like, detract from it too much because Will Ferrell is hilarious in everything he does. And a lot of the scenes with Will Ferrell are parodying another movie that Val has not seen called Playdate, which is a French film, I believe, from the 1960s.
I have not.
It's really good. You know that scene where they're like chasing Barbie and there's all those like individual cubicles in a room,
mm-hmm.
kind of like, it's like a checkerboard pattern of like hallway, cubicle, hallway. That scene is like straight out of Playdate, which is one of the funniest movies I've ever seen. Highly recommend watching it if you have not. It's just this weird dialogue-less or minimal dialogue French film that's just all these weird scenes that kind of point out the absurdity of kind of quote-unquote modern, because it's from like the 1960s or 1970s, but like modern life. So there's all these scenes of like weird offices and places of employment that just don't really make sense. And that's a lot of what the whole Mattel sequence, the Mattel office sequence, is kind of just an extended allusion to Playdate.
The only thing coming up is some scary movie for me.
Hold on.
Is it,
God, I have to look it up.
I'm sorry, I'm uncultured, okay?
This one is not one I'd actually expect anyone to know. I've seen it. It's not one that a lot of people see.
Also, after Blue's the Warmest Color, I'm scared to watch French movies.
It's nothing like that.
No spaghetti scenes.
This movie. No spaghetti scenes. Playtime. That's what it's called. Playtime, not Playdate. It's a 1967 film by Jacques Tati. It's set in a futuristic, hyper-consumerist Paris.
Oh, I see. That's cute. Okay.
I'm going to send you a screenshot from it, and you tell me this is not exactly like...
Yeah, I'm looking at the cubicles.
Yeah, right? It's the same setup. So there's a lot of references to it. Anyway, so Playtime is not Playdate. Playtime is a great movie. Highly recommend it. It's very funny and absurdist. So yeah, my one criticism was I'm not really sure what Will Ferrell's character was there, especially at the end when he has to like say like, well, everything's back to normal and we're going to sell the like anxiety Barbie that American Ferrera told us to make. Like, it's like he didn't need to be there. They could have found a way for him not to be there for that scene, and I think it would have been fine.
What did you think of, well, first of all, like, I just want to say I'm glad they got Ryan Gosling
as Yes, as Ryan Ken. Gosling, I can't imagine anyone else as Ken.
Yeah, because also he's, like, a musician, right? So he had, like, the background to be singing Ken.
Yes, and he's a trained dancer.
Exactly. So, like, first of all, he did a beautiful job.
Yeah.
I really felt sad for him a lot of the times. Like, I don't know. I feel like Ken's story was just as deep as Barbie's, weirdly. Even though it's, like, this silly thing of, he's very dependent on her and feels that his girlfriend is just not paying any attention to him, which is true.
Yeah.
Which is factually correct. And, like, it resolved a little quickly for me, but I feel like if it was a longer resolution, it would have felt weird.
Yeah, the focus is not necessary. Like, that would make it seem like the focus was too much on him, I think, when this is Barbie's movie, not Ken's movie.
So, like, what did you think of how Ken is portrayed overall as this, like, simpy guy?
He's this, I mean, he's, like... I can't say the word that he is an F-boy. a mediocre gentleman, a fail son, if you will. He is, I mean, he's just there, I think. And it's interesting because the thing that sets off the action is Barbie's existentialism, her suddenly becoming aware of her own mortality. But Ken seems to be kind of anxiety ridden from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
He's self-conscious from the start in a way that none of the other characters are, which is interesting to me.
Yeah, I really like that.
Yes.
I don't know, something about it is like, yes, Barbie was the one that kind of broke the whole thing, but maybe even Ken was the conception of that in her, because who knows? But like, We can think of whatever it is, right? We can start, like, imagining and thinking it through. But, like, ultimately, they did focus on Barbie. And But I do like the idea that things are already broken in there.
Let me ask you this. Is Ken the antagonist?
I don't think so. I think the antagonist is patriarchy.
Yeah, okay. It's like it's either Ken or it's patriarchy.
And weirdly, matriarchy, too.
Yeah.
Because it didn't feel great after they started to revert back to matriarchy.
That's true.
So I guess just archy, every archy in the movie.
Yeah.
Society. Well,
society, man. Society. It's interesting because I always ask myself, who's the protagonist, who's the antagonist? And I don't think it's Ken. I think it is patriarchy in general, or maybe just like unquestioned assumptions or unquestioned hierarchies.
I also like, I feel like it'll be remiss not to talk about the outfits in this movie.
Yes.
It's just, I really like that they did like historically accurate Barbie outfits. Like, just something about that detail is just, it tickles me.
Well, there's a lot of detail work, I think, that it clearly shows that they really cared about what they were doing. I like all the little details, like when Barbie opens her fridge and it's all...
Cardboard, except for the door. Well, it's all cardboard.
Well, no, part of it is it's the decal, right? Or the decal.
Yeah.
The sticker. Like, you're not actually supposed to be able to, like, take anything, but there's a few things. And then, like, when she turns the shower on, there's no water, but she does, you know, she acts like she's... getting soaked by the shower head, even though no water's coming. I don't know. There's all, and the pool is not really water.
Yeah, just, she's like walking over the pool.
Yeah, or like when she
the
cooks.
Car the car being just like proportionally incorrect. That was great.
Yes, and the fact that she doesn't like go downstairs, she just kind of floats down. Because if you're playing with toys, you don't have them take the stairs. You just...
They just appear on the other floor. Yeah. You just move them.
Yeah. And I thought, like, the set design was spectacular. Like, even when they're in the real world, I feel like they do a really good job of making every scene exaggerated to the point of parody, but, like, in a beautiful sort of way. Like, all the scenes at the Mattel headquarters obviously have this, you know, corporate aesthetic that's Playtime inspired, but also, like, I don't know, even at the school, it was just like the schooliest school. And when they're on the in the beach on Venice Beach, it's just like
I had flashbacks. I was like, I don't want to be here.
Oh god, yeah, Val hates LA, we know.
Actually, the beach was the best part about that vacation.
I
really like that area
at Venice Beach when I was there a couple years ago and had the time of my life.
We saw like a skateboarding competition. It was awesome. And they had really, really good food. Those fish tacos, oh my god, to die for.
Did you go to the Muscle Beach?
We walked by it. I don't care to see like disrobed people working out.
Okay, because I went by it and I saw like the biggest dude I've ever seen in my entire life lifting weights. I was like, wow, the stereotype of it is real.
It is real. There were a lot of really jacked people there. Yeah. But, like, my sister and I didn't want to look. I don't know. Like, I personally felt like I was invading their privacy, weirdly. And also, like they were invading my privacy.
I feel like if you're pumping iron on a public beach, though...
They want to be seen.
Yeah.
But I don't want them in front of me.
Okay. Fair enough. Anyway, so that's Venice Beach. Okay, what did you think about our human characters? What's
Gloria
her name?
Gloria and Sophie.
Yeah.
Sasha. Gloria and Sasha.
Sasha. Yeah, what did you think about them?
I like that they didn't keep it for too long, that it wasn't Sasha's doll, that it was Gloria's.
That Gloria was instilling the existential angst into Barbie.
Into Barbie that woke her up. Yes. Yeah. I really like that. And they revealed it quickly enough that like it didn't take over the plot, which is excellent.
Yeah, I agree. Because it really would have overstayed its welcome, I think, if it had gone on for too long.
Mm-hmm. I also like how Sasha starts getting involved in the plot fairly quickly and like joins her mom.
Yeah, and I like that she isn't an emo kid the entire, and like it isn't until the final scene where she's like, wow, mom, I've learned the power of playing with Barbies, and now I'm going to be a good kid. There was nothing like that. It was just kind of like, pretty quickly, she realized that Barbie is like
a real person,
and kind of gets on board with helping Barbie.
There was a very pleasantly surprising helpfulness between the two of them. It wasn't like mother and daughter hate each other in the beginning, or like mother really wants to connect with her daughter and daughter never wants to speak to her mother.
Yeah.
It's like just the idea that Sasha is disappointed because her mom settled.
Yeah.
Like at her work with her capabilities. It's very clear that Sasha knows that Gloria is capable of much more, but is not using that, not pursuing it. And that's where that tension is. But as soon as Gloria is actively, like, doing a thing that she loves, Sasha is ride or die with her. And I really, really liked it. I also really loved their dad, like, husband to dad guy.
He's supposed to, I think, be, like, a mirror to Ken in that the dad is implied to be kind of mediocre in kind of the way Ken is, but in a way that he's just kind of self-aware that he's kind of doing his own thing and he doesn't let it trip up his relationship with his wife or daughter.
Yeah, he's just having a great time. He has a hot wife, a great kid. He's learning Spanish.
He's not very good at it, but he's learning. And he doesn't get in their way as they, like, I don't know, like, at the end, they've, like, adopted Barbie, and he's, like, all about it, so.
Yeah, it's very millennial green flag guy.
Yeah.
I really like that. There's so many little jokes in the movie that are just really funny. Also, okay, I want to ask you about your experience watching this movie, because we had two wildly different experiences.
Yes.
Apparently there was...
You were not. You were trying.
I was trying
to figure out a way to, like, shake out of your skin. Yeah, I know.
Apparently a lot has happened in that theater. I was trying to hyper-focus so hard that I didn't know that, like, there were couples arguing, people, groups disappearing, reappearing. What was happening?
Definitely. Okay, at some point, I'm pretty sure... Okay, we were in this theater, and we went to, like, a late night showing because all our friends work in the theater business, so, like, we had to wait for all of them to get off work. So this is, you know...
It's, like, 11.
It was the 11 o'clock showing, so, of course, it's a little more loosey-goosey compared to, like, I don't know, like, I feel like if you go to, like, the Sunday matinee at 2 p.m., it's probably just going to be kids and their parents, and it's going to be, aside from maybe a kid who has a tantrum or something, like... Not all that interesting, but there was definitely a couple there, I think, and the guy got up, left, he then came back kind of angrily, grabbed his girlfriend's hand, and then walked out angrily with her halfway through, and all I can figure, I don't know, like, maybe he got offended that the antagonist was patriarchy, I don't know, he seemed very upset. Then there was this group of people who kept coming and going. I don't know what their deal was. It was such a weird theater to be, like, it was just such a weird energy. I didn't hear the people, like, arguing or whatever it was that I think Becky and Amanda mentioned. But, like, it was the theater itself. Like, I felt like our friends were the only ones really, like, laughing, really. Like, maybe it was, again, perspective. And also, our theater was not very, for a movie that's done, like, it's due in numbers, like, our theater was pretty empty.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was late, you know.
But the theater itself, like, the movie theater was packed. The lobby, I've never seen it that busy before. Huh, like, literally, it was so, like, I had never seen a crowd like that in that lobby since at least, like, Avengers Endgame. Like, it was crazy. So I don't know where all those people were going, but it was not to our theater. I guess they must have been seeing Oppenheimer or the QAnon movie that everyone was talking about. I don't know. But, like, it was a weirdly empty theater. There was maybe 30 to 40 people in a 100-person capacity theater, I would say.
That's a lot more than I thought there were. I thought there was 10 other people.
Maybe I'm overestimating. Maybe it was more like 25 people. It was.
Once again, my situational awareness was not there that day.
Okay.
I was a little energetic.
It was a very empty thing. And it was a weird energy. But I felt like the only people I could hear laughing were our friends. And, like, the people behind us, I swear to God, every time there was, like, a really funny joke, I didn't hear anything coming from them. So I don't know if, like, maybe the acoustics are just really good in that theater at blocking out sound from other people. I don't know. But it was just, like, I was like, are people not, like, liking this? I don't know, because this movie has, again, done numbers, so it's got to be super appealing. It's not just our weird little friend group that likes it. But, like... What is going on in this theater?
I'm not a laugher either. I don't know. Like, I don't think I've laughed. I think I only laughed once.
Okay.
And that was at the very, like, last scene.
So your theory here is that everyone in the theater is not a laugher.
Not a laugher.
We were just in the, like, stone-faced, like, sensible chuckle theater.
Yes, exactly. But yeah. After we left and you guys started talking about everything, I was like, oh my god, there's a world outside of me. It was hilarious because, like, I have not been able to watch a movie in a movie theater in, like, a decade.
That's not true.
Well,
We went and saw D&D together.
No, I've seen movies in the theater. I just mean like fully focusing on the movie.
Okay.
Because while I was watching D&D, even though I loved it, half the time I was so zoned out. Having snacks really helps because I'm doing something like with my hands. But this is a movie that I was actually like fully watching. And okay. It was a trip. I was like, oh my goodness, this is what it should be like. So I had a really, really great time. Except for the moment where it got really, really quiet. And I was like, don't move. And you're like, Val, are you okay? It was a good movie. Well, I'm glad that we had like a good experience, even with apparently a lot of drama happening in the theater.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't all, I don't know, like, I have been at theaters where much more drama has occurred. Like, I have been in a theater where someone got into a fight with someone else. So,
oh, cool.
This was not nearly, I don't know, this was just like normal, I don't know, normal New York theater stuff, shenanigans going on, I feel like.
What did you think of the rival Ken?
Oh, yeah.
Played by Simu Liu.
Yeah, which Wiki tells me is Tourist Ken. Which I never would have known in a million years that he was supposed to be Tourist Ken.
That makes it so much funnier. Yeah. Oh my god.
I kind of like the Ken rivalry. The beach off moment was very good.
I'm really glad they got to beach each other off.
Yeah. The whole scene where they do the like aquatic landing was great.
Yeah. It was it's like Normandy almost.
Yeah, it was like very, again, it was a parody, I think, almost of the Normandy scene in Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah, or in Call of Duty, or in all of the,
anything with Normandy scene. Yeah, again, this is a movie, I think, that like referenced like 1,000 other movies. And I think Greta Gerwig in general likes to do that, like if I remember correctly. What other stuff has she done? I don't know. I saw something else that she did once, and there's a lot of references.
Maybe Lady Bird?
Maybe. I don't remember.
I need to watch that movie. She's done a lot of good movies. Whoa.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I think it maybe was Lady Bird. She just likes to reference a lot of films. She's kind of like Quentin Tarantino in that way, and well, in no
she,
others.
She does have... Oh, okay, we're not going to talk about it.
No, there is a scene with a lot of feet involved, so she's like Quentin Tarantino in that way as well. Yeah, there's a plot moment scene that involves feet, so Quentin would be very happy.
Okay, so is the dance-off between the two Kens, like, are they dressed as Grease? Is that what the thing was? They're definitely, like, riffing off of something.
I don't remember the dance-off.
It's where they're wearing, like, where he's wearing the black shirt.
Yeah. I just don't remember it.
Oh, okay. I feel like he has that swoop of hair.
I'm sure it's... I mean, it probably is. Yeah.
I really like it. I really like the dances.
Yeah. The songs were good. The musical choice was excellent.
That... Oh, the beach song. Oh my god.
The freaking...
Where they're at like a bonfire and they all start switching Kens.
Yeah, what's the name of that song that they were singing? Oh my god, it's a song from the 90s. Push by Matchbox 20.
Sure.
Yes.
Google.
Okay, this add Matchbox 20 to the list of things that we need to... talk about with Val, apparently.
You want to hear a funny story about how I found out that Gosling had a band?
Sure.
We were watching Teen Wolf.
Yeah.
And one of his songs played. And I was like, this is a cool song. And I Shazammed it. And that's how I found his band, Dead Man's Bones.
Dead Man's Bones.
Or is that, yeah.
Yes, that's the band, right? That's the name of the band.
Yeah. And also their album, which is confusing.
Nah, some bands, I don't know, like Weezer named multiple albums Weezer, so. It happens. Yeah, so that song Push is, I don't know, I just feel like it's a very, like, I don't know, it's just, like, such a 90s song. The other song, by the way, the one they kept singing in the car, is by the Indigo Girls, another artist that Val has no idea who they are.
Nope. Google, Google, Google.
God, how do you not? They're queer icons, Val.
I'm sorry.
They're like the previous generation's Tegan and Sarah.
Well, I don't listen to Tegan and Sarah that much either.
Oh my god.
I know their music. I just
okay.
Listen to other genres. Don't be mean to me. I'm trying.
I'm going to be mean to you for not liking Tegan and Sarah, and I bet our listeners will.
I went to a birthday yesterday where I was the youngest by like a decade. Get enough of this from my friends.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what I'm here to do. Okay, I don't know. Like, it's a good movie. Do we have any other thoughts? This might be a short episode.
It's difficult to talk about because, like, yeah, like, I don't know what to say because it just was so put together and just silly. But also,
where do you see it a second time in theaters? Let me start with that question.
Huh. Sure. Yeah.
Would you be able to focus?
Well, that's a coin flip.
Okay. If you had a good night's sleep.
I tend to not sleep that much. So, okay. Like, even yeah, today I woke up at, like, 10.
What time did you go to bed?
Well, I came back very drunk and at 2.
Okay. That's still, like, 7 hours.
Yeah.
Even assuming it took you a moment to fall asleep. It's not bad.
Yeah. So, I tend not to sleep that much. I just go to bed really, really late. So, I'm usually well-rested, even with, like, not that much. I would see it again. I don't think I've ever seen a movie in theaters twice.
Really?
Yeah. But if you guys were like, hey, we're going to see it again, I'd be like, sure. Then I'll go.
Okay.
Would you see it in movies again?
Would I see it in movies again? I would see it in theaters again. Yeah.
No, in the movies.
In the movies. Yeah, I definitely would. I think it's a really good movie. I think the message of it is very interesting. There's a lot of depth to it, as I was trying to say and kind of failing at saying earlier. I think there's multiple kind of levels to it. And I think if I saw it a couple more times, I would have a better sense of how those levels interact with each other. And I think there's also this, and as I think about it now, this like Adam and Eve message, which is really interesting as I think about it.
Yes, but that just comes with the territory.
Yeah.
I do like Kate McKinnon's character a lot.
Yes.
Just the idea of like that Barbie that received a few too many haircuts and paint jobs from the kids.
She's the Lilith of this Adam and Eve metaphor.
In a way, yeah. With the Birkenstock instead of an apple.
Yeah, there you go.
Figuring it all out. I told you, everything is the Bible.
Fair enough. You've earned that MFA.
Thank you, thank you.
Yes.
If you're ever in doubt, just be like, it sounds like the Bible.
Yeah.
Old Testament.
I learned that lesson in my Shakespeare classes. It's just like, when in doubt, it's probably something biblical.
In every sense of the word with Shakespeare.
Yeah, that's true. It's probably biblical. It's probably a...
I crack myself up
and sometimes. It's probably a very lewd pun.
Yeah. You know what else I really like? When the credits started rolling and every single person was credited as Barbie.
Yes.
That was just...
You and not knew the was type of Barbie. Like, they weren't credited as, like, President Barbie. No, this is Barbie, 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 Barbie.
And, like, I knew it was coming, and then it came, and it was so funny.
Yeah.
It's the little things.
This is a movie of the little things. That's a good way of putting it, I think.
Yeah.
And not just because Barbie dolls are small, but because I think it's truly just, there's all these little moments and jokes and one-liners, and it all just adds up to be this delightful movie that
you know
I think
what
everyone
I think
should
it is
see
as well.
What?
It also has a narrator, so
yes,
I think to
it's
me
Helen Mirren,
it felt
right?
To me it felt very much like a campaign. I feel like every movie now with a narrator.
It's a D&D campaign.
It's a D&D campaign now.
Oh my god. Okay.
Because my association with that theater is the D&D movie, which I've seen with you guys. And this is the second time I've been there. And it's also a movie with narration. And I was like, oh, hey. It feels very familiar and comforting.
Yeah.
But also, do you remember that moment where they were talking with Kate McKinnon's Barbie? I don't remember what she was called.
Weird Barbie.
Weird Barbie. Thank you. When they were talking to Weird Barbie, and at some point, the narrator was like, casting Margot Robbie was the bad. Like, it doesn't work with this scene because she's her, like, that's her.
Like, the joke was that she was unattractive, but, like, it's Margot Robbie. She's clearly not unattractive.
Yeah. Like, that was funny. There was a lot of, like, I feel like the whole movie is like a fourth wall break, but not.
Yeah.
It really considered the audience in every single sense of the word, but it didn't feel pandery, which I like.
Yeah. So
I think they did that balance really well. Like, the way that they framed the conflict of taking Barbie Land back from Ken's, like, it was funny and interesting, but then when they got to the vote and took the house back, like, I think very purposefully, it felt kind of bad.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't feel like they fixed anything, more like they went back to the status quo, which was what Barbie was shocked by in the real world, and which is what Gloria and Sasha are, like, telling her is not good. And then that same thing, but opposite, happens in Barbie Land. And I really like how they framed that. So I really like that idea. Because, I mean, I guess that's where the Mattel conglomerate comes in. Because Will Ferrell's, like, crew and President Barbie's crew, I guess, are kind of like reflections of each other in a sense.
I'm not sure I'm quite following, because you said the scene where they take over the house, and it's very ambiguous to what you're
after
referring
to. After they get Ken's not to
okay,
vote.
Okay, let's start. Who is they?
The Barbies.
And what is the house?
The House of Representatives.
Okay. When the Barbies take back the government.
Yes.
You're doing... I just could not understand what the...
I see my faux pas now.
Okay.
But in my head, it was very clear.
I'm sure it was.
Because we started this conversation off talking about how Will Ferrell's people are kind of, like, unnecessary.
Yes.
But now, that was 40 minutes ago, a foil
okay.
for President Barbie. Huh?
There you
and
go.
And in the Bible.
Uh-oh. Here we go. Okay, I'm leaning back. Take it away.
Oh, that was the end.
I was just making a silly joke.
I have never read the Bible.
Spoken so. Like a true heathen.
Or any holy book. Or, I feel like I should, because I'm missing a lot of fun little references.
Well, let me tell you about the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. No, just kidding. I'm overheating, so I think we need to wrap up. Any final thoughts, Val?
I have no thoughts about this movie. It was good. It was fun. I thought this episode would be a little more meat on the bones, but I guess not.
I
had fun talking about it.
Yeah, I don't know if there's... I feel like the message of it is pretty clear, and I feel like it's a good movie. I feel like we have an easier time talking sometimes when it's not as good a movie.
Yeah.
To criticize. I don't know. It's like easy to with this movie just be like, yeah, it's good. Go see it. I don't know.
And
if
also because
much else.
It ended so perfectly.
Yeah. The final joke, which I won't spoil, is perfect.
It's really, really perfect. I don't think there's any other joke that would have worked as well. Like, they could have done other jokes and it would have been like fine. But
apparently
this is
Greta Gerwig
perfect.
Said it came to her in a dream. So
perfect.
And I am a fan of using that because as someone who writes a lot of D&D adventures based on ideas that come to me in dreams. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy that the ending came from a dream, because you gotta go with your dream ideas.
And it just pays off so perfectly because it's been set up from the very, very beginning of the movie.
Yes.
And not only from the beginning of the movie, just from the toys themselves. It's just something that every single child who's ever played with a Barbie and like a Ken or whatever are aware of.
Yes.
It's so perfect.
It is a perfect ending.
Yeah. What would you like if they made a Barbie too?
Oh, that was going to be my question is like, I don't think they should, but
I don't
they
think
probably
they
will because it made $1 billion. So
I hope they don't.
I hope they like maybe say like instead of doing a Barbie 2, we'll make a different Mattel property.
Into Alan's a Escape big
movie. I don't know. Why don't they make the Uno movie?
They shouldn't.
I'm trying to think. It's gonna be so controversial.
Are they gonna go by the actual rules? Are they gonna go by the rules that every normal person knows? It's just gonna be chaos.
I'm looking at the list. Let me find the list of Mattel properties.
I would be okay if they made like a tiny limited series spinoff, honestly, of like maybe Midge and Alan or something.
Okay.
But I also don't want anything else for this ever. Let's see.
The Polly Pocket movie. Well, you have to Google what that is.
No, I know what it is.
Oh my god, they own the rights to Big Jim. Where's the Big Jim movie?
Actually, what I would watch... It already exists, but Saturday Night Live did the American Dolls trailer parody. Have you seen it?
No.
I'm going to send it to you.
You mean American Girl Dolls?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my god, they could do a Rock'em Sock'em Robots movie.
Oh, I was listening to Dungeons and Daddies, and Anthony Birch talked about how at some point there could have been a... what's that board game where you play like a doctor, but you have to defuse the bomb? Like you pull things out.
Wait, Operation?
Yeah.
You're not defusing a bomb?
What? I don't know. He made some bomb joke, so I just assumed. Okay. I've never played Operation. Okay. But he was like, at some point, he received the script for a movie like that, and like he never heard anything back from anything concerning that, and that would have been really funny.
I can't imagine what the heck that movie would look like.
No one can. Because it doesn't exist. Probably for a reason.
Probably for a reason.
I'm sending you the trailer.
Okay.
And I think it's time to wrap up.
Yes.
Let's get back in our boxes.
I get that reference. If you have not seen this movie, we haven't spoiled like any of the jokes. So go see it and enjoy it. And tell us what we forgot to talk about, because I'm gonna get off this and be like, oh, we didn't talk about the blah 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 scene,
because that's like millions. Yeah.
Yes, but like, I don't know. We'll figure it out. It's hot here.
I personally got a lot out of it. I have like four new movies to watch from this conversation.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Good stuff.
Chloe, what do we have?
We've got a lot of social media that you can check out. We got Twitter. I guess it's still called Twitter. I'm still calling it Twitter. Screw Elon Musk. We're calling it Twitter. And Instagram and a Pinterest. It is at InMediaLez. Our subreddit is r/MediaLez. Our Tumblr is...
thepodinmedialez.tumblr.com.
Our website...
Actually, Band versus Band has been getting a lot of attention.
It has?
Yeah. That episode, for some reason, has just been getting a little bit of attraction, which is good. Cool.
Because it's a good episode and it's a good comic. So I'm glad people are checking it out. Our website is inmedialez.com. You can email us at inmedialez@gmail.com. And a link to our Discord is in the description. So feel free to check that out and join us and hang out with us and listen to Val talk about Dungeons and Daddies. and I'll post pictures of my cats.
and we'll see you in the next one.
And may Barbie bless you.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening, and please don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss new episodes. Also, it helps us grow, and we appreciate every single one of you who follows. And if you like us, tell a friend. Just be like, hey, these two lesbians are talking about other lesbians, gays, non-binary folk, and really queer people. Once again, thanks for listening, and we really appreciate you.